testing. Health test. Definitely fantastic. Here, all the inputs and the outputs are gone. The chief is on hand.
We're ready to begin.
Yes, I notice a restlessness in the land. A vast restlessness in the land. What with shortages. You know, speaking of shortages, as everybody does, it speaks of nothing but shortages today. Let's face it, we're taking recognition of the fact that there are shortages. But, of course, there's always been shortages. It's just that you've had enough money to go out and buy all that stuff, and you didn't know that other people didn't have enough money to buy all that stuff. You see it now, huh? But there's been all kinds of shortages since almost time began. And always produces in the human breast restlessness. For example, right now, would you believe it that with many men, I happen to know a couple of them myself, with many men, right tonight, there is a shortage of women in the world. Now, with other men, there is a plethora of women. So you see, that's the trouble with wealth and riches. They're never evenly distributed in the world. Now, you don't think the Pasha of Kuwait is suffering from a gas shortage, do you? Of course not. He's sitting on the biggest gas oil well in the history of mankind, so he's not suffering. But what is he suffering from? He's suffering from a shortage of rain. It never rains in Kuwait. So you see, I mean, no matter where you go. You know, speaking of gas, I saw I know whether I should. Are the kids asleep? It's one of the great things about being on late that, you know, you can be. I saw a fantastic bumper sticker the other day. You know, these bumper strips? It says, help the gas shortage. Eat beans. I only report the news, folks. I do not make the news. I'm sorry. What are you going to do? I wonder what that means. Huh. Gee. Life is full of little enigmas. And by the way, have you ever thought of giving one of your close friends a couple of matched enigmas for Christmas? You know, Neiman Marcus is selling them this year. Leopard skin finished. Or you can get the teakwood model. Have you ever... You don't know what an enigma is, Joe? Well, enigma is... It's an 18th century piece of furniture. It's a small squat. It looks a little like a coffee table. The enigma. And you set it in the corner. You put things like statues of Beethoven on it. You don't think you'd like that for Christmas? Well, I have a suggestion. For those of you out there that are suffering from, that's the problem with a nation that is basically a truly affluent nation. Truly problem, you know, is every year comes this symbolic thing called Christmas. Symbolic, of course. And there's an orgy of spending and giving. And incidentally, it may interest you to know that the prediction this season is that there's going to be more spending on Christmas ever than in history. Yeah, it's hard to believe it, but that's true. No. I'm merely repeating what has been said by experts, and we all know about experts. My God, yes. I see where J. Fred Buzhardt went to see Judge Sirica to tell him how to work the tape recorder. You know who Sirica is? Yes. I mean, of all, they called him. Did you see that? Okay, Fred Buzhardt. They should ask that Rosemary Woods to come in and help him work the tape recorder. You know? And, oh, man, I'll tell you. You know, I kind of like all this Watergate because it makes me feel a little more comfortable with my government. Because if the government is as homey and is filled with incompetence and just plain ordinary boobs as it is, that government is never going to hurt you. Oh, it's the, believe me, it's the efficient government that, absolutely gets right down to the basics. I mean, you know, in fact, I remember Rube Goldberg made a famous comment to me one time. He was famous because I later told a lot of people about it. Rube Goldberg. You remember Rube Goldberg? You ever hear of him? He's a really an interesting guy. And I was at a cartoonist meeting with Goldberg. It was a National Cartoonist Society, see? And Goldberg, yeah, Goldberg. I was sitting there next to Goldberg, and I knew Goldberg. Yeah, it's not everybody that knows or did know somebody. He's dead now, but it's not everybody who knew somebody who's actually in the dictionary in small type. You've heard the expression of Rube Goldberg. You know, here was the real Rube Goldberg, and he invented this. So he's sitting there and looking real cool. You know, he's a, he was kind of a big, tall guy who always had a perpetual, curious, sardonic smile about his face. And Goldberg is sitting there, and we're at this meeting, and it was a banquet. Well, the banquet was so loused up that I'm sitting there at the table, and they're serving me my shrimp cocktail. And after about 25 hours of wait, they're serving me my shrimp cocktail. And the guy next to me is already getting his Alaskan Bombay ice cream. And it's a fantastic mess. So Goldberg is sitting there. He's leaning back. And I says, oh, boy, is this ever messed up, Goldberg? He says, yep, it sure is. And I said, wowee. I said, this organization is really... This is really screwed up, man. I mean, look at that guy over there. He's already listening to the post-dinner speeches, and we ain't even got our shrimp cocktail yet. I said, yep, sure is screwed up. I said, wow. I said, yep, I like it that way. I said, what? He says, yep. He says, let me tell you this, son. I says, yes, Mr. Goldberg. Whenever a guy says son to you, you start saying mister. He says, let me tell you this, son. I said, yes, Mr. Goldberg. If the Nazis this organization, they never could have got to first base. They couldn't have bought themselves a Daisy Air Rifle. They couldn't have got into Poland. They couldn't have done nothing. He says, I kind of like it like this. The more screwed up an organization is, the less it can harm you. Have you ever thought about it that way? So, you know, it's not like, kind of like Rosemary Woods. I just pushed the wrong button. Why didn't somebody think of giving her copies of the tapes instead of the master? What? Who thought of that? See, it's kind of nice and warm. Of course, on the other hand... Oh, you're looking for a real gift? Any of you out there who have... vast affluence. I love, one thing I love about the Times, the New York Times. You see these fantastic ads in the Times. I mean, you pick up the Post, you pick up the Daily News, and they have always ads for a big sale on color TV sets. You see that everywhere. But they really have ads. Did you see? What a fantastic gift idea. Listen to this. Just the other day, I'm sitting in the subway. I'm on the D train, and I'm looking through the gift suggestion list in the Times. And here is a suggestion, Joe. I want you to listen to this: South African game ranch for sale. Listen to this: surely the best and biggest game ranch adjoining world-known Kruger National Park. Extent: 20,000 acres with all modern improvements. Game fenced, overflowing river, numerous herds of elephant, buffalo, wildebeest, impala, giraffes, hippos, as well as lion and leopards. Include a modern and the only motel with a landing strip. Unbeatable. Unbeatable at $3,060,000. Immediate reply wanted. Reply by mail.
Even the drinking
place. Oh, God. Oh, take that guy out. I don't want to have any talk in here. Just let me hear the sound. Come on. Look in there. Get me lions. The sound of lions roaring. I thought, what a fantastic gift. Imagine just, you know, on a Sunday morning. Oh, wow. 20,000 acres. Listen to this. Okay, Joe. Let's hear the lion. You can't get it? Well, now, you see, why are you laughing at Rosemary Woods? You're having trouble in there working that machine. Just as, and she gets, you know, she gets a lot of publicity. You don't even get any publicity for that. But I'll forget it then. Don't worry about it. I just thought the lion was up at the top, so don't worry about it. That's it. Just throw it out, Joe. All out. The whole tape. Take it off. We forget that whole thing, right? Okay, it'll make it feel better in there. But $3 million for a gift ranch. Now, you know, it's not every ranch that you find these days that has hippos on it. Well, can you find me the hippos? All right, let's have it in there. Then. Give me a hippo. I didn't ask you to read the instructions with it, Joe. Just give me the sound of a hippo, will you? Okay. All right. Come on, now quit talking. Let's see some dust in there. We had an old expression in the service. I want to see nothing but elbows. Okay. But, you know, this idea of casting around for gifts. In fact, I was walking along the street the other day. I was walking down in the village, and somebody had thrown a gift catalog out, and I picked it up on the way. You know, I just picked it up off the street, and it says gift suggestions, and it was from a famous New York store. And I'm looking through the gift suggestions, riding on the subway, and there was a page of suggestions. It says, if you have friends who are lovers of beauty, but who have everything in their world, and you'd like to give them a gift that they'll never forget, here's a suggestion for gifts. For example, one of the great little gifts you can give now today, and this, I suspect, is part of the totally affluent world that we're living in. Don't worry about it, Joe. It's not that serious, for heaven's sakes. No. You just listen to me and then worry about that later. One of the gift suggestions that was suggested, which I think in a sense is symbolic, very symbolic gift. You know, gifts are symbolic. You ever thought about that? Symbolic gifts. That in primitive societies, when a gift is given, it is given as a symbol of something. Now, the biblical concept, you know, frankincense, myrrh. Now, you can't get myrrh like you used to. Matter of fact, Abercrombie and Fitch had it a couple of years ago. You could get a half pound of myrrh, frankincense too. They also, by the way, sell a sackcloth and ashes coat over there. This is at WOR, New York. You look worried, Joe. Is it that you're having difficulty understanding me? Have you ever heard of frankincense? I see. Used to work in the master control. Yeah, I know. Old Frank, yeah. Frankincense, though, you're talking about, of course. One of our Italian friends. But nevertheless, these were symbolic gifts, you know. The wise men arriving with frankincense and myrrh at that crucial moment in world philosophical history. Somebody says, frankincense? Why, it's always what I've needed. How did you know? myrrh. Oh, a partridge in a pear tree. That's just what I wanted. Well, you see, the symbolic aspect of it is very important. So gifts really should not fill a function. They should fill a symbolic function. Understand? In other words, what do you need around your house? All right. Oh, well, no. You don't need that. What do you need around your house? Well, a lot of things. How about, what do you think, Joey? What do you need? Toilet paper, right? Yes, every house needs toilet paper. Well, now, if you were going to give a gift that was truly a needed gift, you would bring a case of toilet paper over. I mean, you know, in assorted colors, red and green with a little holly on it. Now, now that would not be a symbolic gift. That would be a real gift. Now, what else is needed around the house? Dishwashing soap. Most people wash their dishes once or twice a week, right? Okay. Now, can you imagine showing up with 1 gallon of Mr. Clean? in the new gift bottle. You know that they how booze is always every year they have gift bottles. You get Jim Beam. You know it's in the shape of a turkey. Only during Christmas time. Oh yeah, you know, or it's in the shape of a cut glass decanter with carved goats all over the side of it. And now I think that this could be carried out, let's say, by Mr. Clean, if you could get a Christmas gift package, and it comes with it instead of the usual plastic bottle. It's a plastic bottle in the shape of a Santa Claus. You know, and it can be kept as a memento of that wonderful Christmas. Now, these are real gifts. Now, what else is needed around the house for actual necessities? What's needed? Well, no, there's a lot of things that are needed. I'm talking about real things. Booze is not needed. Now, don't keep saying that. It's not needed. It depends on how sick you are. If you're a very sick person... what? Anchovies. That's what it sounds like you're saying in there. Well, of course, a certain... Now, that shows a truly truly elegant, affluent person who would say, what's really needed right now? He says, anchovies. Well, all right. I think, though, that there are many things. For example, a typical example of a thing that is needed around a house... In many cases, you'll find... I have no idea what you're saying. Why don't you hit the button and let me know? That looks like a bass fiddle you're playing there. I don't know what it is you do in your house, Joe, but it must be exciting. What? Well, all right. Okay, let's take that then, if you really want to get down basically to it. A lot of people are worried about, let's say, birth control. And, yes, you could give as a gift to some of your friends. And it could be a gentle hint. You know, if you have a friend that has 19 kids, you give them 1 year's supply of the pill, gift wrap. You know, just to both of you from Fred. Well, that's not a bad idea for a gift. And in certain families, that's certainly a necessity. Do you have any other suggestions along that line? Well, all right, let's take the light bulb now. How many light bulbs do you burn out of your... You know, the new light bulb has a life expectancy of maybe 6 or 7 minutes. And I would say that a nice gift wrap box of assorted light bulbs, you know, 40 watt, 60 watt, 100 watt, a nice collection of light bulbs. That's not bad. What are some... Deodorant. Now, most people find a deodorant in our time a necessity. Do you agree? Certainly, basing it on the contemporary television commercials, that the deodorant has become one of the prime necessities of modern life. Well, wouldn't you know, nice, wonderful, family, hospital-sized spray can of Right Guard in the holiday wrapping, which is available only at holiday time, for those pungent friends of yours who want to enter the new year with their heads erect, smelling great. you can use your gift to make suggestions to your friends. Have you ever thought of that? The gift could suggest things to your friends. Now, if you have a friend that you find it's a little embarrassing to spend more than 5 minutes with him in the front seat of a car with the windows closed, you could give him a nice selection of Right Guard, Mitchum deodorants. There, you know, little things suggest like that. So gifts have a very real functional value. And many of the... Yeah, incidentally, we have a little suggestion here. Hit the DuVernay button, please. Hit it.
They say there's a time in life for everything. For DuVernay, the time is before.
Before, yeah, before.
DuVernay Company, New York, New York.
Oh, very nice. Incidentally, speaking of Christmas, this is time once again for the WOR Christmas Fund. And for those of you who don't know anything about it, all these kids in local hospitals throughout the city will be given gifts. Kids that are spending Christmas in the hospital. so if you'd like to help out this charity. It's one of the oldest in New York, incidentally. It's an old established thing. Send your check or money order to the WOR's Christmas Children's Christmas Fund. And it's Box 710, Times Square Station. Okay? Box 710. You know, that opens up a whole avenue of thought about the whole gift scene. And in a society where most people do, in fact, have everything. Or, you know, pretty much everything. It's very hard. It gets almost impossible to give somebody a gift where, you know, you say, oh, this is what I've always wanted. Now I've got it. So your gift, the gift today has become increasingly symbolic. And in fact, I think that certain things are produced now today on the market that are produced only as gifts. That becomes truly symbolic. For example, I have always felt that the electric carving knife is a symbolic gift. I have never seen anyone use an electric carving knife except immediately after they've gotten it as a gift. So then it becomes, obviously, ipso facto, a symbolic gift. Have you noticed that every year on television there's a whole fantastic bouquet, plethora of commercials about stuff you never see any other time of the year? Vegetable grinders. Have you seen those spots? And now, available for the first time, vegetable grinders. It shows these hands grinding vegetables, doing all this stuff. And you never see that stuff advertised, like, say, in January or in, say, May. Don't they grind vegetables in May? No, I suspect that these things are truly symbolic gifts. That a guy gets this gift or a person gets this gift and it goes either immediately up into the top shelf in the closet or it goes on the bottom shelf underneath all the dishes you don't use. Did I tell you about the time that I actually saw, when I had the realization of how symbolic this was about 4 or 5 years ago, I attended a Christmas party with a lot of people. It was at a home, see? And, you know, with mothers, with mother-in-laws, with kids, with grandmothers, the whole works, you know, the whole thing. And they were unwrapping gifts. So, and we were going to have this big meal after it. And the meal consisted of a roast turkey. And it was going to be a big one, you know, big 16-pound roast turkey. And so everybody is having a hell of a time opening gifts and yelling and cheering, you know. And the symbolic gift, of course, most people suspect that gifts aren't to be used. But they don't want to really come out and say it. And so this gift, the big central gift of this girl, gave to her mother. And, you know, it was presented with a tremendous panoply. She opened it up, and there was this box inside this wrapping, and it had little holly wreaths all over it and Santa Claus. And she opens it up, and she says, I have seen those on television. I've really wanted one. And she takes it out of the box, and it was a carving knife with a cord coming out of the back of it. You've seen them. Okay. Have you ever seen one work? Joe, be honest. You have seen one used. That's better. So everybody was all excited, see? So we were, you know, here's this electric carving knife. And there were all kinds of instructions with it and how it should be used, to be careful of this and be careful of that. So everybody is cheering, opening their gifts. And we went in to dinner then. Now we're all sitting around the dinner. And the lady of the house, who incidentally got the electric carving knife as a gift, went out into the kitchen, and she came back with this great big tray. And on the tray was a steaming, fantastic roast turkey. And, you know, roast turkey has a certain smell. It's got a kind of a style to it. It looks like something. You know, turkey has a look. And you could smell the dressing. She brings it in, puts it down the table. Everybody goes, ooh, what a beautiful turkey. Oh, ah. And they made a whole big thing of it. And she says, and now, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to take Marge's gift, and we're going to try it out. So everybody sat there and waited. You know that excitement of trying out something new that's electrical? Come on. You mean you don't know that excitement of trying out something new that is electrical? Like, for example, you get a television set that's new, that first instant of plugging it in and seeing if it works or doesn't work, which is often the... Oh, boy, doesn't that bug you when you get something new and you plug it in and a little thin wisp of blue smoke comes out of the back? And you say, oh, God, you know, oh, here we go again. Oh, my God. Like a buddy of mine about 3 or 4 weeks ago had this dramatic moment, which comes to us in our lifetimes once probably every 3 years, and in a total lifetime of a person who owns one of these, he may have this around 12 times in his life. Do you know that they figured out that the average car owner buys roughly in his entire lifetime 12 cars? His whole life. New ones we're talking about. Does that sound reasonable to you, John? 12 cars. And so this is 12 times in his life he has this happen to him. You know, that moment of getting a key handed to you in the showroom, and here's this magnificent machine sitting there. And when you look, or at least it looks magnificent, see, and he went down there and he took his friends with him, you know, it's going to be a whole big issue, see, and they went down and picked up the car. Are you curious how much the car was? All right, I'll tell you. $11,700. This was not your average walking around Pinto. No way. So this was made it even more dramatic because he was buying a car that he had dreamed of all of his life of owning. I will not tell you what it was. Well, not a Cadillac, if you're interested. No, no. Let's put it on this basis. It was an imported machine. And basic, it was 11.7. And so he had said, what the hell? You can't take it, would you? He says, he gets an AM, FM stereo in it. He gets an air conditioning in it. He gets an electrically operated top. You know, the kind of top, you know, you press the button, the top goes back. He had the whole work, special paint job, everything. He says, what the hell? Might as well go all out. You only live once. And I've been dreaming of this all of my life. And, you know, have you noticed that so many ads are now specifying, give yourself a gift, you deserve it? This is the growing ego of modern men. Everybody feels he deserves more than he's getting. Not one guy. As a matter of fact, if the truth were out, I wonder how many of us in our lives are actually getting a hell of a lot more than we deserve. Not you, of course. All present company excluded, of course. But anyway, this great moment came. And the salesman who sold him the car, elegant gentleman with gray sideburns. He had a guardsman's mustache, a slight English accent, great style, tweed suit, you know, the whole work. And here he is in this magnificent showroom where the, you know, the cars start at about 11 grand and go up, see. So they take him around to the side of the showroom, and they're sitting in the driveway of the showroom's garage was his machine. Absolutely, they polished it for him, washed it, and there it is, absolutely brand spanking new. It has on the odometer, you know, which is the speedometer, the little trip mileage thing. It tells that his car had traveled 0.6 miles. That's a great feeling. You know, that's all it took to, you know, push it into the boat and all that, and 0.6 miles. So he sits in the front seat for the first time. He takes that beautiful steering wheel made of carved teak wood. And you could smell the leather, the real leather upholstery. It's got walnut dash. And he smells this stuff. Sits in the car. And the man says, now, I'd be glad to show you some of the basic controls. Of course, you understand the operation of the automatic shift on this machine. It's a standard operation. you'll find that your windshield wipers are over there next to the steering wheel. And just on the other side of the tachometer, you'll find your various light switches. You'll notice that there are three phases of light dimming on this machine. And I don't suppose you'll have much trouble. You've driven this sort of machine. Now, of course, nobody wants to admit he can't drive it. You know, he says, yes, of course. And he hands him the key. Now, the key on this particular car had its own panoply itself. It's a kind of an elegant key. You know the kind of key that has a great big top on it that's coated with rubber? Yeah, it's a beautiful key. So it has the name of the company, the car, everything all stamped on it. You could actually wear this key on your watch chain. So beautiful. So he gets he's sitting in there, takes the key, puts it in the lock, and he turns it for the first time. It's exciting for the first moment to operate your car. And boom, it started instantly. And the sound of the engine, that $12,000 engine, oh, it was, you know, like silk. And so he says, well, here we are, my lifetime dream. And his friend got into the seat next to him. And everybody came out and waved to him, and he drove out into the street, turned right, and headed towards the New Jersey Turnpike. This happened to be over in Jersey where this little incident occurred. He gets up onto the turnpike now with his brand new car, and he can smell the leather. He can smell the furniture polish on his warm-up dash. He could smell all that new wiring and all that new insulation. It was working like a top. In fact, you could hardly hear it ticking over. He drives up the ramp, and he gets on the turnpike, and all the cars are going by him. You know, the ordinary working cars, you know, blowing smoke all over his new car. And a big truck goes by, a truck containing what looked like either lava dust or old ashes. And the ashes fly all over his car, you know. But he's got the stereo playing. He's got the air conditioning. He's having a great time. And he's looking down at the trip indicator. He is now going 4 miles. He hasn't even gone 10 miles. You know, these are all historical moments. How many of you feel these little historical moments in your car the first time it hits 1,000 miles? You know that you can never go back. The first time it hits 10,000 miles, you watch all those zeros coming up. The first time it hits 20, or the only time. That is, unless some shark of a used car dealer gets it later and sets it back, and it hits 20,000 three times. But nevertheless, he's got this new car, see, and he drives out on the turnpike. And he's moving north on the pike, heading towards home where everybody was waiting to see the car. You know, all the kids, everybody was waiting. The neighbors have been called in. They're going to serve coffee and cakes. They're going to take the crowd out for trips around the block in a new car, because everybody knew about this car this guy was getting. He had been on the waiting list for 8 months for this car. It just turned 4 miles and was approaching 4.1-tenth mile when he noticed a sound, a chugging sound. He felt the car hesitate. He jiggled the gas pedal a little bit, figuring the gas pedal was stuck. You know, it's a new car. And it went... It coasted to a stop on the turnpike. And cars are roaring by him. And here he is. He's about in the center lane. He didn't even have time to go to the outside. Now listen, what the problem was, Joe. He didn't have time to get to the outside. He was in the middle of the road, and it stopped. It stopped so suddenly, he didn't have time to get off to the right or to the left. Here he is in the middle of the road, and it's absolutely stopped. And cars are roaring by him, as they do on the Jersey Turnpike at 5:30 in the evening. Thousands of cars are getting going past him. So he doesn't know what to do. He says, what am I going to do? And he takes the key. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, damn it. What am I... Give me the...
Get the driver's manual out of that glove compartment, will you, Fred? Quick!
And he looks up in the driver's manual. It says, starting the car. And all it said in the driver's manual is the car is started by turning the key in a clockwise direction all the way, and the starter will engage and disengage automatically. End of instruction. Well, cars are going by him. He's sitting in the middle of the turnpike, and they're roaring past. Wow! Wow! On left side and on right side. At that point, he says, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Come on, Fred, let's get out and push it. So the two of them got out, and they're pushing his car with 4 miles on it. Incidentally, he had a full tank of gas, so don't think he ran out of gas. That's what all of you smart types are thinking. No way. Because one of the things this outfit made sure of was he left with a full tank of gas, everything. See, this was given to him as a courtesy. So they're pushing the car, and what he found out was that an $11,700 car is an awful heavy piece of car. I mean, with all that beautiful steel and metal in it. So he and his friend are pushing, and every 5 minutes, a car is, you know, just swerving, trying to get out of their way. Well, they finally get this thing off on the shoulder after pushing for about 20 minutes. He's filled with perspiration, sweat, dust, crud, exhaust gases. He's scared to death, and they get the car pushed off to the side. When just about the time they get it on the shoulder, along comes a state cop with the blue light going. The cop pulls up. Before we do that, all right, Jerry, don't worry about it. Hit the button, please.
The world's greatest magicians perform at the World Festival of Magic and the Occult.
Through Sunday, December 30th at the Felt Forum in Madison Square Garden Center. For ticket information, call 212-564-4400. Tickets also at Ticketron.
Well, anyway, after that interruption... Magic, I'll tell you. But nevertheless, gets the car off to the... Just, you know, there's some times in your life when disappointment is so profound that you can't really put it into words. And he got the car off on the shoulder. Up comes the state cop with the blue light, the U light going on the top. The cop gets out of the car, and he walks over to these... These two guys are now sitting in the front seat of the car. They don't know what to do. He walks up and he says, what's wrong? He said, what's the trouble, buddy? He said, I don't know. The car won't go. Stink up. Says, you got gas in it? The guy says, oh, yeah. And he says, yeah, I got a full tank of gas. He says, well, let me take a look at it. He looks in. He says, you only got 4 miles on this thing. He says, that's right. 4 miles. The cop starts to laugh. He starts to laugh. You know, it's 4 miles, the thing's already pooped out on you. And the guy says, yes, I have 4 miles, and it has already pooped out on me. Thank you, officer. So the cop says, well, I'll radio back for a truck. And he walks back goes back to the squad car. You know, you hear the radio going, saw a truck here, yeah, some guy saw it. He wouldn't believe it, Fred. It's got 4 miles on a brand new car, $12,000. Beep, you know. And about 30 seconds later, the truck pulls up. And they drive right in front of it. And they just back up. They're not going to mess around. They're not going to work on it. They put the big hook down. And the hook picks up the front of the car. And my friend and his buddy Fred are sitting in the front seat of the car. And they're being towed off of the turnpike. Now, I don't have to fill in the blanks for you. They towed him to the next interchange, just towed him right off, dumped the car there, and my friend wound up hitchhiking home, his first night with his great car. Now, I suggest to you, friends, that car, will, no matter what they did to it, yeah, they got it running finally. It's been fixed. But... that moment of profound disappointment forever will change his attitude towards the car. It just happened at the wrong time. If you had it about 2 years and it, you know, pooped out on you, you'd say, oh, well, what the hell? But it had 4 miles on it. And he was, the first time in his life, he's being towed down the turnpike in his brand new shiny car with all these guys riding 1953 Ford Galaxies right by him, you know, looking up, hey, how funny, why don't you get yourself a 53 Ford, eh? You know, driving by. And it was like that night when that lady took out that carving knife. And all of us were sitting around the Christmas table with the festive groaning board. And it was that night that I learned that some things are produced only for gift-giving. They are not produced to be used. And we made the mistake of using a symbolic gift for the symbolic use to which it was supposed to have been put. She plugs it in, and the thing goes, and it's jiggling, you know, like a cheap. Have you ever had a really cheap electric razor that the thing jiggles so much it feels like your head is made out of Novocaine? So it's going, and she lays the knife on the breast of the turkey. Just lays the edge down. And the thing is going, and it's jumping up and down. So the guy who was there, you know, the husband says, well, just a minute, Emily, let me try it. Maybe you're not putting enough pressure on it. And he takes the knife then, and he says, I'll cut it for you. And he starts to push down on it. Ga, 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 ga. The turkey is jiggling. Gravy is flying all over all of us. The thing is sawing the turkey, see? But it's sawing it so slowly that it would take you maybe, oh, 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks to carve the turkey with this $17 white elephant. So she says, gee, doesn't... Now, what do you say at that point? Do you say to the lady who gave you the gift, what a piece of junk, what is this, you know? The handle, by the way, is getting hot. You can see the lights dimming, incidentally. it's pulling that much current. It is not cutting the turkey. It is sawing the turkey. I'll tell you, it was grinding the turkey up like an elderly alligator with bad teeth, which is chopping chunks off of it. So finally, she kept saying, oh, isn't this nice? Look, I just hate to use this new knife just like this. I'm going to save it for special occasions. Now, what the hell more of a special occasion is Christmas Day? But everybody knew what she was saying. So she unplugs it, puts it in the box, and it was never seen again in that house. Except for one thing. Yes, it was seen. 2 weeks before the next Christmas, it was taken out, cleaned up, polished, gift-wrapped, and given to somebody else. It was given to somebody else as a gift. 3 years went by, maybe four. And then one Christmas, that same carving knife arrived back home as a gift to the lady who had originally sent it out on the great chain letter routine of the symbolic gift. Well, that was last year. She's giving it again this year. And I suspect that that gift will continue to go till maybe the year 2050. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And that you too can own a game ranch in Africa, complete with hippos. How about that slicer and the cap snapper that really works? And all those other great gift items. I wonder how many people are going to get wine sets to make wine. Oh, man, that's good for about 12 minutes until you know, it blows up in your closet. Either that or you drink the first two jugs of your wine, you wind up with the shakes and all your fillings of your teeth fall out. But, six of one, half a dozen the other. Each man for his own. It's a great world.